I don't think I've ever.
Nice.
What is that?
Very
is
nice. That?
Is that you as the Unabomber holding a pencil?
No, that's fucking Tino, dude. I can't draw myself.
Hold on, hold on. Well, this is a audio format, but I'm looking at a picture. It's Tino holding a pencil.
I drew a picture of Tino.
But you look physically like the Unabomber, so it kind of threw me off for a second.
We're sketch dueling over here.
You guys are sketch dueling.
Welcome to Season 5 of the Cutting Mat Podcast. We just recorded a new intro, and the entire time I have been dressed as the Unabomber.
Yeah, it's not even October.
It's not.
This is your natural look. But Tino, you were saying something about UFOs earlier, and my brain shut off to fully concentrate on what you were saying about UFOs, but then I stopped.
It's like tunnel vision, but for brains. Because
we weren't recording. Yeah. Yeah. So what were you saying?
So earlier, when we were recording something else, we had mentioned UFOs amongst like hobby things. And looking around at all the Gundam paraphernalia in the recording studio here, my brain was like, UFOs like cows. What else likes cows? Or something else? A Gundam? What Gundam is it? Turn A Gundam. Yeah. I'm going to make a UFO with a mustache pulling a cow off the ground.
I love it.
Famously, one of my favorite pieces from you is the balls. The Gundam balls.
Yeah, the truck balls.
But they're truck nuts.
Yes.
But they're truck nuts. And something that I'm trying to work on is get a 3D model of those made so we can print them out and paint them. And everyone can paint truck nut balls from Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here again.
Welcome back.
The year 2024. Welcome.
The year 2024.
This is season 5. And you may look, you may be saying, what do you mean season 5? Season 4 had 3 episodes.
No, that's not right. You were remembering incorrectly.
Yeah, COVID, brains, foggy.
Mm-hmm.
That past year was a year, but now we're on season 5 and we're going to start over again.
Yeah, things got weird last year. This year, it'll be better.
Yeah, we have a new studio, a new setup.
I've got a pair of aviators that I'm wearing indoors.
Mm.
Very Unabomber, very hot. But Tino, you need to sign us in so that people know who they're talking to. If they haven't listened to the introduction, or maybe they're new, or maybe they're old and they forgot because they smoke a lot of weed.
I'm new and old.
All right, well, let's get to it, everybody. Yeah. Welcome back. Every listener, thank you very much for listening to this brand new episode of a brand new season of the Cutting Mat Podcast. I'm Tino, also known as Big B Roman. All over the internet, I am I'm an illustrator, designer, and painter. You can find my works wherever. In front of me is the aviator, beclad
Unabomber himself.
I'm wearing a hood. I love it. I'm Brandon. I do mecha genre. I'm a nerd. And I'm also one of the hosts of this podcast. Thanks for listening. This season is going to be interesting.
That's it.
Is.
I mean, we are going to have some. I mean, we're trying to incorporate some more visual elements to the podcast.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Luckily, the third member of our podcast has some experience with this kind of thing, and you did get a listen to the inside of his body,
my bowels,
his bowels,
my bowels.
As they
my
say.
Name, my name is not Joel; it is Joel.
Joel,
and I'm the producer of said show, and I also produce a lot of things in the real world, like video and audio and graphic stuff.
Producer.
I do multimedia design. I paint toys and scale models and miniatures, and I do a whole kinds of things because my brain kind of allows me to do it. And we're going to talk about that on this podcast a little bit to a degree, but we're going to take this first episode back to kind of. Not reintroduce ourselves, but in a way,
catch up with each other.
Kind of catch up.
We're going to catch up with everyone. And, catch up and see what we've been. What have you guys been doing?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? You've heard about this?
Have I
heard about this thing called podcast?
Podcast. What is? Podcast. Has America been involved in any of these podcasts?
There's two podcasts. Actually, there's two podcasts.
This is an old sunny thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We. If you haven't listened to the podcast a lot, we do kind of go off and tangents about other random shit, but it's also a 18 plus podcast. We have a lot of topics that aren't too heavy, but we do curse a lot. But then sometimes we do talk about like somewhat, you know, kind of heavy mental health subjects sometimes, but it really depends on what we're talking about and what's going on in our, it's kind of like a hobby journey.
Yeah.
We started this back in the day, a couple of years ago. It was a YouTube series on my True Grumpa channel, where it's kind of just talking about the community and happenings and news and all that fun stuff. And it evolved to us doing a podcast in person.
Mm-hmm.
We've done audio for a couple of years. Yeah. And now we are, because we're in person and we're located in a newly set up studio, we're actually going to explore video, which I'm very excited about.
It's the next step in our evolution. We want to focus. I mean, sure, we're going to keep on focusing in the audio medium on some of the mental health topics that we've always been focusing on, and that, you know, people who have listened to us for a long time are kind of used to by now. But we'd also like to sort of get into.
We want to show you what we're doing. Show you about some of the things we're painting versus just talking about the way we paint or process certain situations.
We're
gonna talk
about it's going to be in an all-in-one location, so now you don't have to go look for us online. It's just going to be right there on our Patreon and our website.
And it's not a Zoom call, you know, where you run into a lot of issues with latency. We're all in the same building. It's great. We're in the same room. We're actually in the same. Well, it's four tables put together.
It is, but the latency. Yeah. Since we're all in the same room, that makes the latency even weirder.
Yeah.
Especially when we have in real life lag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
love this picture of Tina. I can't stop staring at it.
I just had the lag. It looks just like him, doesn't it?
It looks just like him, but also looks very, how do you say?
Da Vincian.
Da Vincian, very smart. Very brain thoughtful.
He just sort of has this, like,
the hand?
Gives me
the hand looks great.
Yeah, see, oh yeah.
You drew this in 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, six.
And that's an acceptable hand.
I'm still working on my UFO.
Yeah, well, that UFO actually looks like something. This looks like a series of scribbles that I put on.
Yeah, we'll post it in the Discord so it makes more sense. But yeah, we're really kind of working on improving. I'll go on a little tangent myself, but I've made a lot of decisions on what I want to do in the hobby world in terms of video content. And this is kind of combining that with what I want to do. There'll be solo videos of me painting shit on the channel, but True Golem's going to be it's always been the home of the cutting mat, but it's going to be the home of a lot of the video elements that are non-Patreon things that we do.
Makes logical sense.
Because, you know, I love always talking with, you know, homies about hobby stuff. So why not also show you what we're working on? We're going to work on watching, like, some of our favorite hobby YouTubers and trying out new techniques and stuff together on video, like learn with you guys. Workshops, whole nine yards.
So trying out new techniques has really been my year.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to bring that to everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's fun doing it together too, with like the context of like, hey, you're like, I'm not a master at this shit. Like,
that's the whole point. You
learn
try something
with us, we're gonna fuck up. Right. You know.
Yeah. I think that one thing that we need more of is people trying to do something for the first time and totally sucking at it.
It's kind of like our whole thing, just do it badly.
Our whole thing is just
that's our motto for the podcast. Do it badly.
Don't be perfectionist. The best way to defeat perfectionism is to do it badly. Mm-hmm. Don't set out to do it perfectly. Just set out to do it.
Yeah.
And the you know, there's that old saying from the wise anthropomorphic dog from
Unabomber.
Adventure Time.
The wise Unabomber.
Ted Kaczynski, who said that sucking at something is the first step to being sort of good at something.
That's it.
Do you think Marvin built the killdozer in one day?
No.
He tried over and over again. Learn how to weld and learn how to do all these things so he can destroy the town.
He did.
The town fucked him over. He had to get his revenge.
Do you think Deathclock built Mordheim in a day?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Hell no.
Actually, they probably did.
They probably did. They probably
hired
technology.
They hired people. They had money, right?
Yeah.
And they could.
They have that coffee thing that just brings in.
Do you folks like coffee?
Real coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Blacker than the blackest black, Tim's Infinity.
That's what we talk about on the podcast mainly, But, you know, it's kind of fun because that's always been my goal for making hobby content, to kind of showcase my progress.
That's what
I get to do with you guys. And now we actually get to, like, visually show off the things we're talking about. We can actually talk about the things.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, there's enough people that are experts at stuff making videos online of how other people can also become experts at stuff.
Yeah.
I don't...
Yeah.
I liked that type of stuff.
I like watching people
for a
learn.
Time. But, yeah, I would rather watch someone learn something new and try something out that they've never done before. Because that's, like... That's what it is. Like, that's what it all is. It's all about trying out new techniques you've never done before, not just picking a lane and being good at it forever.
I mean, what's the first thing you do when you do something new?
Honestly, now I try to find an old forum article from the early 2000s.
Well, no. Say you did it. Say you did the thing you looked up and you researched and you practice it. Like, usually, what's like your first instinct to show your friends what you did?
That's not wrong. Yep. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of, our community is kind of that. Like, we always like show each other like new things that we're working on or trying out or like, hey, like, have you watched this tutorial video or you tried this? Like,
That's really the whole point.
And which I kind of love that we talk about so many different mediums, and this will be an episode topic that we get into down the road, but like in these smaller, weird, niche communities, the set levels and expectations for this, in a sense, quote unquote, air quotes here, skill set is so vastly different.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We get to kind of try everything and let me say this, you know, definitely hard on practicing what you preach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier said than done.
Yep.
Because we can be like, oh, just do it. Oh, just try it. Oh, just do it. But like, I pronasticate, but that's not even a fucking word.
What the fuck does that mean, Joe?
I prostinate fucking rocket surgery.
Prognasticate.
I'm very bad. I mean, recently over the last couple of months, I was very bad about just doing it badly.
I also am a prognosticator, and I can tell you that,
that's
like,
a new word now. It's official.
Like doing it badly, honestly, is tough. It's also tough if you get this mindset where everything you do has got to be good.
Yeah.
It don't got to
be
good. Yeah. So the whole point is for some of it not to be good.
Yeah.
You got to just play around and have fun and make mistakes. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I've had a hobby spiritual awakening over the past year where I don't want everything I do to be perfect anymore. And I love making a fucking mess.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's kind of talk about what we've been.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about some of our, because we've, you know, for the most part, have had spiritual hobby reawakenings and realizations into many different lanes in this hobby world. So let's kind of talk about what we've realized and what we're doing in terms of hobby shit.
Mm.
You can go first. You had your
oh man,
Unabomber,
you got your glasses on.
I've been building some stuff.
Unabomber fit.
So I did like a lot of Gundam kits over the past like while, and I used to do exclusively 1/144th kits. I still kind of do exclusively 1/144th.
I was gonna say, I mean, you still, but for the most part,
I do, and I just like the size. But I used to do a lot of contests.
Same. Yeah.
You know, like I used to enter contests, and I used to like really care a lot about whether my stuff would place or win, or like who you know.
One of my first contests was going with you.
That's
to
right.
IPMS.
Yep.
And I won third place.
You did.
And you won. You kind of swept out.
I won a lot of plaques. I won a plaque. Yeah.
That was the Dragon Slayer?
The Dragon Slayer got second place in the category.
Which is wild.
Which was
and the Bourbon Zam.
Yep. No, the Bourbon Zam was Dominion.
Dominion.
I should just let you talk. I'm sorry.
That one did get first place, though. The Bourbon Zam was cool.
That was dope.
It was 1/144th Bar Zam. But those were like years ago.
Yeah. Lots changed.
That was also my first ever mini painting contest. Like, I've always tried to perform at like a really top high level, but I don't get the feeling that like that's sustainable. You know, you can't, you know, you can do contests and stuff for like a short time, but you can't do it forever.
Certain people kind of can sustain it. I think they're built a little bit different.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
I mean,
I think that people can consistently put a product into a contest that is of a certain level.
Yeah.
Consistently. I think that maybe the question is like,
there's not like a lot of marathon runners per se for scale modeling, you
that's
know?
The
like
thing.
People
get, right.
Everyone gets burnt out to a degree.
Right. I think it's easy to get burnt out if you've got a perfectionist attitude towards the
thing. I would definitely say
talk about burnout.
If you know deep down just like 120% you're not a competitive person at all, you don't have a competitive tone in your body, don't try it. But like I would broadly say like everyone should try it once. It's kind of fun. Like it doesn't need to be IPMS, it can be like an online contest or something. But like just like I don't know. If you're at the stage where you're like fully painting scale model kits and like going to the full nine, like why not? Might as well. Like you might like it, you might hate it. But like I don't know. For me it was both a positive and a negative experience in different aspects of it, but I definitely learned a lot.
Yeah, it was a learning experience above all else. Like whether it's a positive or a negative, it's a learning experience.
I'm more proud of putting something on the table than not doing it.
Oh yeah.
That's like it's something to try at least a few times just to see how far you can push yourself.
Like drugs.
Agreed.
Just try it a couple
times. Just try it a couple times.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of experimentation.
A little bit of devil's lettuce once in a while, boys.
Devil's lettuce.
Keeps the doctor away.
What are you talking about? Arugula?
Yeah.
That shit's dangerous, man. It's got that little peppery kind of aftertaste.
We are all... Yeah.
God, I want some arugula.
I want a salad.
The croutons.
But like, I don't know. I haven't had a competitive itch in a while.
And that's okay.
That's okay. And I'm completely fine with it because I did it. And if I ever get that itch, I know that like I could do okay. Do fine.
Right.
Like I don't have high expectations. You don't really win a lot at these events to begin with.
See, that's the thing. There's really good builders in there, right?
It's really just like
kind of like
rights,
community.
Right?
Yeah, it's just like bragging rights.
You get together with your community. You get to see your the people that you haven't seen in a while.
Like hanging out with people.
Hang out.
Vendors.
Right.
Vendors.
Are always the A-plus thing because people are getting rid of shit.
Yep, it's true.
And also,
we're getting off topic.
They're really nice.
I just realized. That happens a lot.
They know things and they can tell you about stuff. Oh, so I do
Unabomber. What have you been painting? Like, what even
I painted a non-Gundam mecha kit. I did a five-star stories kit.
You and Logan did the contest.
So a couple, me and another guy on our Patreon joined this other Discord that makes five-star stories model kits.
They look so sick.
They look real. They're real cool looking. They're very cool designs. They're designed by Mamoru Nagano, the guy who did the Zeta Gundam, a lot of the Zeta designs and stuff.
Such a good design.
And they're very neat. Real sleek looking.
Sleek mythical almost?
I kind of like they are. They look like suits of magical armor with technology in them.
Isn't it based off of Knights?
Is it that's not Dunbee.
I've never
right?
watched it.
That's
nope.
No, Dunbee's the insect mecha armor.
Yeah, those are insects. Okay. This one's something else.
Yeah.
It's really
bulky armor, but it's very thin.
Skinny bone legs.
Yeah. Skinny bone
chicken legs.
Right, and the manga's real cool. Like it's a very good story. It's interesting, like some mythical kind of story.
Yeah, very kind of like fantasy mecha almost. Right. Yeah, I like
but
that.
I built my first ever 5-star stories kit, and then I entered it into a contest last year, and it was really
you like
fun.
It.
Lost, loved it.
Yeah,
I really liked it because I was like really proud of it. I'm like, hey, this looks really good.
I've seen some Japanese YouTubers that have done some really cool like cinematic build videos of those kits.
I really like watching their build videos. Yeah. There are build videos out there for all kinds of different things that apply to a bunch of different genres. Mm-hmm. Like you can watch Gunpla build videos and they tend to be like, there are all skill levels of all different type of model kit.
Oh yeah.
Generally though, the Gunpla kits, the build videos for Gunpla kits tend to be targeted towards newer modelers, because the Gunpla kits are easy to assemble. Like, you can elevate a Gunpla kit to an extremely high level, but if you're making a build video for YouTube, like, more likely than not, you're going to get a pretty beginner focused build video. If you want a more advanced,
there's some more advanced ones out there though too, which I like watching. There's some cinematic ones too.
There definitely are, and there's a lot of potential for like
ASMR.
ASMR.
I was about to say,
ASMR clicky is nice.
I don't know. I can't. It's too much noise in my ear.
Interesting. It puts me to sleep. I like a lot.
I like the Lego ones. Recently.
The Lego ones I like because the sound is not as abrasive.
It's not. It's a very comforting sound. The Lego sound's characteristic.
Pulling the bags apart to begin with really messes with my brain, but then everything else afterwards is fine.
I don't know. Maybe because like I just done it a lot. I'm just like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't build Lego that much. So I'm kind of cool with that. Like hearing it, but, so you got into like kind of similar mecha anime suits, anything else like miniatures or anything?
Well,
we'll talk about that in Premonition of Pain, which is our miniature, offshoot, podcast. This is underneath the same channel, but,
Any
other like mediums, even like non-scale modeling stuff? Have you like finger painted or anything?
Dude, I love finger painting, man. not even like on
purpose.
You
the finger painting?
Like every now and then, like you get, you know how like you drag your hand across a palette and it's like whoops, and then you just kind of like dab it down.
Here's like art.
Yeah. Like boom,
I made art.
What are you doing? I'm doing art. I'm doing creativity.
Shit, I blended
I'm
doing that. So
did you
good
just
somehow?
Did you just creativity on my desk? Yeah,
all over it.
It's you're gonna need to get a paper
like
towel,
Randy sitting at the computer. just all over it.
I'm creativity. Leave me alone. I did. I found a secret hack for mini painting that will help. 3D print your minis. That's the hack.
That's the hack. Make your own minis.
If you 3D print your own minis, so check this out.
Listen.
First, that's a
infinite mini hack.
It's an infinite mini hashtag.
It grows on trees.
They do, and it's sometimes they do. If you get like the plant based resin, it does grow on trees.
That is true. Yeah.
I haven't tried that yet. I am using a water washable resin though, and I found that if I know psychologically that I am able to print another one of these, if I fuck up the first one,
it's less as a.
I'm more likely to just try.
It goes back to the just do it badly thing though.
It's 100%. Said.
I understand if you buy the fucking Bathing Ape RX-78-2 and you don't want to fuck it up, you know, I understand that process, but at the same time,
there's only one of them. You just have one of them.
If you want a fully customized paint, don't buy that one. Then just buy a normal master grade and fuck it up.
At the end of in 2016, when we entered RDUCon, I won the miniature category.
Yes,
that time I was really into like the highest level of miniature painting, and I was just trying like. That was my whole deal before I really got back into Gunpla.
Yeah.
And I had these like really rare, and I probably still have them somewhere, one-offs from like Studio McVeigh and from these other resin mini companies.
Yeah, like back in the day.
Yeah, that it used to be pre-3D printing, they would do a limited run of casts because they were this one artist that sculpted like this thing and could only do so many casts from the mold before it broke, and then you would never get another one.
That's it,
and,
it's done.
And like, those were, I never painted a single one. That's not true, I painted one. I painted one.
That's more understandable.
Because like, I was afraid I'd mess them up.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are historic at that point.
And it's a weird feeling, right? Yeah.
That's where that line kind of gets skewed, is where it's like, there's a difference between not wanting to paint a $500 toy versus just a $25 model kit they can get at Target. Like, okay, just paint the fucking thing.
This was like a weird, this is like a weird shit in the middle, man. Because these are in the middle, because these were $40, but one of a kind. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay, this wasn't that expensive, but I can't get a new one if I fuck this one up.
You could always cast it.
You're right, I could. And I did get into mini casting for a little while.
Yeah. It seems fun at first.
It is.
Because there's a lot of things to buy. And that's my problem.
Yeah. The issue is.
I love accessories.
Yeah. Oh, you need a vacuum chamber. You need a pressure pot. You need an air compressor. You need a good resin for mold making. You need a good resin for casting. So it's just kind of like, all right, I could do this. I could teach you guys how to do this, by the way. I'm pretty good
at it. It actually kind of would be fun. I do have some little like things I want to make bootleg toys out of.
How long does a silicone mold last?
A silicone mold? A while.
Yeah.
Honestly, European mold will also last a while. Yeah,
as long as you take care of it and like, you know, put like what, baby powder in between your casts?
Your mold release is key.
Yeah.
Mold release is the biggest thing that can fuck it up.
Same with your urethane molds. Your issue is over time.
So, okay. Did you touch any Gundam kits, though? Any Gunpla?
Did I?
Yeah. I always like to kind of like circle back to what we originally started.
You know what? I did. Yeah. I did. Here's what I did. I built and painted a high grade wing Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a purple Gundam.
And it was
just
sick.
Did it.
It came out great.
That was doing it badly for me because I was trying out new techniques where I would paint multiple shades of purple next to each other on different panels without masking the panels. Because it saves time to not mask the panels. But the problem is you really got to get your paint at the right consistency so that it doesn't overspray on the other panels.
Joel's dying over there.
You all right?
Dude. We leave some of the coughs in here so you know it's real.
You need to leave those coughs in there because this this is like real time. He was just revived.
I was smoking a little doink. And I feel like one of those like his 70s news anchors. Yeah, smoking in the newsroom.
Howard Stern. He's just like his entire spirit just left his body and just is observing from the top.
It's just over the top. Like,
what the fuck are you guys doing?
What is this nerd shit?
What the fuck are these nerds doing?
Well, why don't you take your top off?
why don't you take your top off? I wish
this was like a zoo radio podcast. Welcome to Truck Nonce and Donkey Dick in the Morning.
We are going to get a soundboard. I mean, we had a soundboard in an older iteration of the podcast, and it was cool.
We have to move it away so we don't touch it, though.
I can still reach it, Joel.
I can still reach it. It's a scoot over.
I can't reach it. I have to get up and walk around, and I don't want to get up and walk around.
You're kind of slick about it. No, don't touch it. Don't touch that one. Nope. Got.
I couldn't reach it.
No! All right, we're back now.
I couldn't reach it.
We're back now. But yeah, so like... I guess I'll talk a little bit about...
What is your deal, Joel?
What's your fucking deal?
God damn it, Joel.
What are you doing?
What the fuck? Who even are you?
I'll be honest. The past, couple of months, I was just in a big depressive episode. I don't really paint a whole lot of stuff, but recently, and a little bit during that...
I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Tina, what have you been... sorry.
And moving on.
Isn't it weird? Like,
well, the past couple months have been a huge depressive episode.
Dude, same. I was just saying that.
That's been going around. That's just what the year has been like, right? It's fucking weird, dude. Like, that just happens. It just comes on and it messes up your productivity.
Sometimes was the perfect storm of seasonal depression, ADHD and autistic depression, and then teeth problems all at once.
So you've described what is what I assume to be a megazord of depression.
Yeah, that's kind of what hit. But like,
the teeth
there
problems
was pockets
the
in between it you know, in between times where I was painting and stuff, mm-hmm. I got into, and still messing around with it, actually painting Mythic Legion action figures.
Ooh, excellent.
There's a local community group, and some of them have do resin prints of, like, custom nice. Heads and stuff. So I've been playing around with that.
Is that what this is?
Yeah. Or no, that's, what is that? Oh, no, that's a Guyver hand that Logan Dude, printed out. So that's finished. That,
Joel's
finished
got these
that.
Little, he's got these little printed out hands, and you can tell that they're printed on an MSLA printer, and they look great.
Yeah, yeah.
The
that was
detail
Logan.
Is wonderful.
Yeah. He did the whole mm-hmm. entire Guyver, like, man. Statue thing, and, like, I still can't believe,
yeah,
like,
man, he's really good
how
at printing.
Big it is, and, like, that was printed.
I know. Jesus.
Yep. So, I mean, that yeah. also, I've been painting toys in Safibi again recently.
Yes.
Action figures.
I like that hobby,
and
though, because...
SD. I got back into Gunpla.
Yeah!
I got back into Gundam. I got back into Gunpla.
Because you were out of Gunpla for a while, right?
Like, yeah,
you...
I didn't touch a kit for maybe like 2 years, maybe a year and a half. I mean,
dude,
like, I did
that's
once
like
14 in a while.
Years in dog years.
Yeah. Well, it felt like 13 years in hobby years. And it feels like it when I'm kind of getting back into it. But I've yeah. been getting back into SD Gunpla because mm-hmm. I'm part of a Japanese SD scale model club called, shout out to One Night Fuckers.
Damn.
It's a reference, I forget the name of the band, to a Japanese like rock band cool. or metal band. But it's just a bunch of people who love SDs, and they nice. Do meet in Japan once in a while. Yeah, hopefully cool. one of these years I'll be able to come out and we'll do like an event or something, but
dude, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, I just like kind of fell back in love with SDs and mm-hmm. shit. Like, I still have high grades and master grades to finish, but like, I got a lot of SDs.
Yeah.
I got one primed up to hand paint again, getting back into that. Like, I don't know. I've been kind of slowly, but I've been doing it slowly. I haven't been rushing into like, gonna make content and shirts and everything all at fucking once. I'm getting back into things slowly to not like overextend myself. But like, I've mainly yep. unironically been enjoying it for myself. Like, I just started filming.
That's the way to do it.
While I'm yep. painting and, mm-hmm. and stuff. But even then, I forget there's a camera there, which I like.
That's
I just kind of get in
yeah,
that natural
you
flow state.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And like, again, and then also doing the podcast inspires me to hobby stuff, because then we have stuff to talk about the next time you guys yep. are here. But we also have, we're starting doing our days where we just come here and paint and just hang yeah. out and have like a nice little hobby day.
That'd be
kind
nice.
Of thing. So yep.
there's always something to paint.
Yeah, but so Tino, yeah, you're drawing a UFO right. with a giant fucking mustache. Actually, yeah. can we see it? Can we see the progress so far?
Yeah, so I finished my initial sketch and I'm just working on a couple of the ones now.
Oh my.
Oh, yeah,
so this one's at the
actually,
wrong angle. But,
you know what? That could be a cool pin, because we can do
the
ray from the uh-huh. spaceship as a translucent, like,
it could be like clear
glitter
and sparkly.
Or some shit.
Yeah,
with a cat.
Yeah, like
with a cat.
It's so good. With so what have you been doing? I mean, besides illustrating, what have you been working
what's
on?
What's your life?
What's your life? What's
I
your
actually,
fucking deal?
What do you
this
do
is
here?
Actually the first little bit I've drawn since November.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel that.
November?
I feel that.
2013?
Yeah, 2013. I also have been in like weird states of like depression and
I get
burnout. Huge burnout yep. for so long now. It sucks.
Yeah.
But I have been painting a lot of minis.
Yeah.
And my
hell
very
yeah.
first...
you brought a bunch today,
yeah, I brought
too.
A bunch because we were going to talk about stuff we were doing. Mm-hmm. So the first one that I actually like seriously painted and fell in love with was this Jackal.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's bet. Super.
And there'll be pictures on the Discord.
Yeah,
cause...
yeah. Dude, so cool. And, like, I based him. Like, I did an actual base made of real rocks.
It's
and...
got grass on there. It's
yeah,
got, like, a
it's
little
got
bush.
A little grass, yeah. yeah.
That's neat. So what so kind of, yeah. like, what's your like, approach to mini painting? You're using speed paints and contrast paints?
We'll get into that in an episode of Premonition of Paint, for sure.
I mean, I think we'll go into more detail for sure. Because we had a Premonition of Paint about, like, speed paints and contrast paints, but I think we've learned a lot more since then, and the technology has developed a lot.
I've kind of, like, flipped backwards how I use them, in a sense, mm-hmm. which we'll get into. Yeah. We'll get into, but, like,
instant glaze.
You were talking about some Borderlands,
yeah. Ooh, so I've mentioned it before. There's a new board game, and it's full of fucking minis.
And you got it, right?
Oh yeah, I got it.
Of course
it.
He got it. He's gonna get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it. I actually brought three of the minis with me that I've painted so far. I'm not done with them because I still got to outline them.
Oh, dude, look at that.
But I posted this in a Discord full of other friends, and one of them said, holy shit. And I was like,
that's
I did
a good
it. I fucking did it. So
I made someone say, holy shit.
It's like an Xbox achievement, holy shit reaction.
Holy shit reaction.
So there's that. I mean, I've been drawing a tiny bit, but it's just sketches and stuff.
Yeah.
I redesigned a... an OC of mine that was inspired from a webcomic that I used to read back in the early aughts.
I miss webcomics. I mean, they're still around.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I miss, like, when there was, like, five.
Yeah, I know. I agree. You know,
yeah,
I would
get home from
like
school
a week.
And I'd make the rounds and just, like, see which five updated.
I always very much loved reading the, there was two. There was one for Star Wars Galaxies, like the fan ones.
Yeah.
And then the World of Warcraft comics.
Yeah, yeah.
I love those ones so much. They're so good back in the day.
I remember reading Turn Signals on a Land Raider used to update, like, regularly, and that was one of the old 40K comics back.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Back when the internet was, like, so old.
So there's a there's one webcomic I've been reading since it started back. I think it's been around for like 15 years.
Which one?
Holy
it's
shit.
Called Questionable Content.
All right, that sounds questionable.
That sounds familiar.
It's about a group of friends based in Canada.
Okay.
They don't go to the school.
They don't go to the school.
They don't go to the school.
You wouldn't know them.
It's evolved tremendously since then.
I mean,
so many
15
characters.
Years. That's super nuts.
It's super
but like there's like there's like humanoid AI robots walking around that are just part of society.
Right,
holy
shit. It tackles a lot of mental issues. Damn.
Okay.
I couldn't think of the word for some reason. They just introduced a character who, it's been a few months since they introduced them, but they're huge burnout. Such huge burnout. She's like, she's got robotic arms.
Cool.
And she's like a super genius, but she hasn't created anything in like 2 years.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
She's such a little shit gremlin, and she just,
finally a representation.
Oh,
yeah.
My
life is terrible and I need a breakthrough right now. And I'm like, same girl.
100%
same.
Get it. Yep, 100% get it.
That's such a relatable character.
Part. Yeah. That's the...
So and I've started following recently in one of the previous episodes I talked about how I couldn't like there's certain artists that I couldn't like watch a live stream of.
Okay,
I have found artists that I can watch live streams of. And, that was part of like what made me want to revitalize one of my previous characters.
It re-sparks your creative gears a little bit. I mean,
yeah. So like it's slowly growing again. And like I'm trying, while I've been drawing tonight, like I'm trying to like cultivate that feeling again I can just like hit it whenever I need to.
I've been getting that with watching a lot of the Japanese YouTubers, but oddly enough, watching like World of Warcraft YouTubers.
Oh,
nice.
I've been playing again. I'll admit it.
Oh no!
I've been back in the WoW train.
He fell off the wagon.
I fell off the wagon. To be fair, I've been playing since launch, it's in my blood at this point.
Yeah. No, that's cool though.
But it's been fun. I've been playing Classic Wrath, which is the expansion that I fell in love with. I still have my collector's box sitting somewhere.
Oh, cool.
I'm almost at 70, which is nuts.
Cool.
Already? What?
Damn. I've been playing. I re-rolled a mage just to play with my homie Spaz on retail.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
Like almost cap level. It's
cool.
It's a lot faster than retail. But I've been playing For Honor a lot too, which is a fun
oh,
game.
They're about to drop some new content.
I've heard of it.
Dropping a new hero soon.
Yeah, yeah.
When I worked at Ubisoft, I worked during the launch of For Honor, so I got to play it like pre-beta. So I've been playing it ever since.
So you've been playing it like longer
I've been playing
than
very
almost,
hardcore.
Almost everyone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on and off. Like realistically, on and off. But like recently this year, I've been playing it hardcore, and again, following a lot of those creators like on TikTok and YouTube has been really like revitalizing my love for content creation in a sense.
Yeah.
And, but also too, like now working in broadcasting, be able to get at the house part time and then like kind of get away from the studio and everything.
Yes.
And then you
got to get that fresh
daydream
air
a little bit,
you know?
And like kind of think about like, I can't wait to get home and do XYZ.
That's right.
You know?
Yep. I like that feeling. Like that's just motivation.
Yeah.
It's just like freaking, you can't can that. You know?
Yeah. It's fun to have those ideas of like daydreaming about just like a bullshit build that doesn't need to be about a video or a thing or a merch drop or you know, any of that stuff.
That's,
it's just a fun hobby.
I get crossovers from video games to hobby things.
I realize that like not, I've always like hated, I don't know what it is, but like when people are like, I'm a gamer, like I hate when people like, always hated like that kind of culture of like, I mean, this is the gamer zone, get out. Like,
gamer zone.
People that truly like ignore their wife to play video
here.
Games.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
But like they're not streaming, they're not doing anything to like benefit from it in besides just playing an escapism.
Yeah, I mean, they probably benefit. It's like, it's nice because they have, like, they feel
but
like they
once
know
it becomes
where
destructive.
Yeah, no.
That's where I have a problem.
What you're talking about is that it's being not good for their
life. Yeah, because you see so many, like, meme videos about, like, you know, playing the game too long and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's been 3 days. You might want to go outside or something. Like, I don't know what.
Me and my partner, we parallel play, which is literally like just doing activities.
Yeah,
there. So we'll all play video games and we'll watch TV and you know, do whatever. And I've kind of realized like how long I've been playing video games since I've a literal kid. I mean, like Red Alert 1 was like my first game.
Dude, I love Red Alert 1.
That I remember like going hardcore on. And like, it's something to where I realized like I don't want to live stream scale modeling anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a lot for me to mentally kind of like mask and go through. I can do it if I'm teaching something like a workshop or something where I kind of have a little bit of an idea and a script and stuff. Yep. But with like video games, it's kind of something I've been kind of entertaining in the back of my idea because I'm unironically good at the games that I play because I've been playing them nonstop for fucking
people
years.
People will watch
it.
Yep. Oh, people will watch
it. It's just like, you know, but it's
what's
the
it
same,
like being good at video games?
It fucking sucks because I'm not very self-aware about being good at them until I realize like, most people are in this competitive skill range.
It's like, oh damn, like I lost again, but also I could still beat 99% of the people that play this game.
Exactly.
So like, hang on a second.
But like, perspective. But it kind of goes into what we see with scale modeling is that a lot of people's first entry points or, you know, exposure to the hobby might be very to what seems to the outside looking in the eye very extreme and technical techniques, and
this
it can be kind of scary, you know.
This is the problem with like, you know, hobby streamers. Hobby streamers are for Gunpla, for example, are mostly like super basic, but even though they're like super basic, they're still, you
know, it's a lot to snap a kit and talk to someone at the same time.
It is
Dude,
a lot
for
it's
sure
so,
but they also tend to do a little bit more advanced things than most actual beginners and they treat them like they're easy or they treat them like they're beginner things.
I've
seen
consider.
A lot of people try a lot of new things from watching scale modeling streaming.
No, that's
like,
good.
Yeah,
that's great.
The charity stream we do with Bad Gunpla every year. Mm-hmm. I always read about people saying like, "Oh, I was very nervous about trying XYZ, and I saw so and so do it," and like that's always cool to me seeing that.
Yeah.
So like, it's also a lot of like internal shit. Like I see, you know, my exposure to like the video games that I'm playing is a lot of higher level competitive. You know, people have been streaming for 5+ years.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's, you know, like, do I want to jump in that pool? But like, also, like, you don't need to jump in those pools if you don't.
Yeah.
Or need to. You know, like you don't have to have a hobby Instagram where you're showing off the braids. You can just post whatever the fuck you're working on. It goes back to the just do badly kind of thing.
It's similar to the realization I had about the contest. Yep.
It's like you can try it and there's nothing wrong with trying it.
Yeah.
There's some people that love doing it. There's some people that absolutely hate it. Mm-hmm. But I think with most stuff in a hobby like this, you're not going to lose anything if you just try shit.
Yeah.
The point is trying shit. That's the whole point.
It's a hobby. Yeah. It's fun. Like, you know,
the streamers that I watch for Borderlands stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's one guy that's been doing a bunch of like legendary farms, like God roll legendary farms, and he's got counters.
For
how many runs it takes to get
it. Shiny hunters and stuff.
Yeah.
Pokemon?
Yeah. Dude, there's one God roll he's been hunting that he still hasn't found for the last 5 years, and it's.
What's the counter on?
The counter's in like the tens of thousands or something.
God.
Yeah, he does whole streams dedicated to trying to get this God roll. It's insanity.
Well, but people will watch it because they just want to be on there when he
they want to be part of it when it happens. Exactly.
But my point of that is like just like you said, like he goes into these videos where he does like builds or he's like looking for a certain gun for his build or something, and he's just like, this is just what I want to do right now. Like, it's not like
that's
it's not it. This isn't the be all end all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of anything.
And I think that's a very large mentality that a lot of creators in the video game space, hell, even in the larger miniature space, have kind of adopted to where, like, yep, I'm just going to show you the things that I want to do, that I want to play, that I want to paint, that I want to build.
Yeah.
And I think that's when that mentality kind of is the main one, where it's just showing how fun something can be.
Yep.
That's where real growth in those spaces can occur, both whether it's from a business standpoint to a end user experience standpoint, industry standpoint. Like, that's really where, like, that's where it thrives and shines. And I think
I do wish the industry understood that better.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard. It's as someone that's running an online toy store, it's really hard to sometimes, like, convince people on fun. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. That 100%
like,
makes
it's kind of hard to sell fun sometimes, you know?
That's right.
Because everyone's definition of fun is different. And then
so
also
different.
But it's also expensive.
It's not, but also not just expensive, but like the things that people hear about the fun that they like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tell, like, I've brought my model kits to work before to work on at the old place. And I've had people come up to me like, what are you doing that for? Like, live in the real world.
Yeah.
Really? What?
Yeah, I've had adults look at me in the last 10 years and tell me to stop reading and to live in the reality.
Those are not adults.
Which is ironic, because if you were on your phone, they'd be like, these damn kids on their phones.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's like an actual physical novel I was immensely enjoying. And they're just,
you don't,
like,
have time to read.
Down.
You should be making money for some rich fuck CEO.
You're on your lunch break.
Go
you
get a
using
job.
That to think about,
I mean,
work.
There is something that came out recently that a lot of people in our age range, like, we just don't care about, like, retirement and, like, savings. Like, we want to enjoy our time while the earth is still not on fire at the moment, you know? Yeah. Like, and that's where, again, a lot of consumer-based hobbies have that huge kind of hurdle to get over, to where everyone wants to do it because they think it's going to be easy to get free shit. It's going to be easy to make a quick buck on, when in reality, it's not. It's actually kind of fucking hard for the most part. There's not a lot of avenues for it. But at the same time, it should be about just enjoying a hobby and sharing that with fellow enthusiasts and people around the world and clubs and all that fun stuff, because that's truly what it is. I mean, that the biggest inspiration for me is the Japanese scale modeling, like, community, especially, I mean, now to back in the 90s, even, to where they had some of the cable access TV shows, to where it's really just showing, like, hey, this is just a thing people do to unwind. Also, sometimes they get together. Like,
I mean, those shows were also, like, just imagine you've got soothing music in the background.
Yeah.
And you've got, like, a guy just explaining to you how to do something and making
this is what they're doing.
Just showing you how to do it, not making it look easy, just actually showing what it looks like,
and also
whenever
not,
you do seam line removal, for example.
And not trying to sell you on whatever tools they're using.
That's
or
the,
what
the,
paint
everything
they're using.
Is so commercialized now also.
I mean, I'm guilty of it. I did that in my early videos because it was my environment. It was a product of the environment at the time.
But this is a space where I've never been where you guys have been, where you were. Yeah, I don't have the opportunity to monetize this stuff, you know, because I'm a different type of nerd.
Yeah.
I'm a different flavor of nerd than you guys.
Yeah.
So if I recommend a product to someone on a Discord, for example, I can be like, hey, I found that
no benefit.
X is the best thing for doing Y. And they're like, well, you know, maybe you're sponsored by X, but I don't, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm literally just recommending this to you because this is what I like to use.
Yeah.
They're automatically skeptical, and that is
I've told people
that
before,
is unhealthy.
Do other products versus the product that I was either working or sponsored.
Well, there you go,
because in that situation, it's this thing is just going to be a better choice for you. There's no way around it. Like,
but there's almost I'm talking about how there is almost like the implication of some commercial motive behind someone who's experienced at a hobby recommending a product.
Well, there's a weird expectation being set that, like, if you don't have a bunch of sponsors or companies behind you, you're not, like, a quote unquote advanced or professional or,
like,
content
here
creator,
I am
whatever you want to call it.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, sponsors For model kits?
For my leisure time?
What do you mean? Yeah, exactly. If I had a sponsor for my leisure time, that would mess it up for me.
We have sponsors for a podcast because this is a production. There's a lot that goes into it. We also recognize our, I don't want to say privilege, but I want to recognize the audience we have and help people support local hobby brands that we can help push out. And like those, you know, we're not going to have, you know, Better Health or whatever, fucking Better Health health ads or whatever. We definitely don't have those kind of metrics. Even if we did, though, it's like, what, you know, what do you know about scale modeling? Why do you want to work with scale modeling? Like, you have you to kind of vet that stuff.
If you really
bit.
Think about it, Joel, HelloFresh is kind of like building a scale model of a,
but
of
it's
a
for
meal.
Your tummy. Like, you know, I don't want to force that kind of shit.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. The point of the podcast. Yeah, like sure we have sponsors, but it's because like you said, we're using their hobby brands and we're using the money that we get from the sponsors to produce the podcast so that we can put the podcast out because podcasts are expensive.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing a hobby thing, that's not for anyone else.
Yeah.
That's for me.
It's going to go on my shelf.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if I'm recording a podcast for myself,
I'm putting it on my desk at work to make room for more.
Yeah. That's the thing, yeah.
I mean, hell, even in my scenario with the toys that I paint and sell, I paint them to what I want to see, to my aesthetic, to what I like, because I found people that like what I like to make versus trying to appease
the
algorithm gods or whatever is popular that week online or whatever, you know, whatever happening in the community that everyone's talking or doing. Sometimes just it's... Sometimes I've seen when people just kind of do what they want to do, a lot of other people will join in naturally and organically, and that builds some of the strongest like relationships and connections you can have with people.
Hilariously enough, I was in a stream for an artist that I follow today during work.
Oh, shit. There you go.
And he was talking about that exact same thing. He was like...
Interesting.
He hasn't updated his Patreon in so long because he'd become scared that people had come to expect the way that it was.
I was scared about updating.
And he was talking about how his sketch offering for Patreon, like whatever level that is, his sketches are phenomenal, like too phenomenal for whatever level of money that is.
Yeah.
And he was like, I have to like reformat it because then one, I'll actually get the money I deserve.
Yeah, true.
And two, I can finally be able to work on the things that I want to work on instead of worrying about what everybody else is doing. I was like, fuck yeah.
People,
do what you want to do because everybody that's here right now is here for what you want to do.
Unlearning how to people please is a very hard thing that I'm currently I've been learning how to undo, but I still struggle with on a daily basis.
So do you feel like it's people pleasing or either or blend? Is it people pleasing? Is it commercialization? Is it a combo of both?
In my scenario, it's people pleasing mixed with high anxiety, mixed with ADHD, plus you do have the consumer side of it because
that's like in a sense half
of my income is based off of monetization of, you know, a video or selling merch or
you know,
in a sense having people connect with me online, but the other side of that is realizing that, like, hey, you have an opportunity to truly be yourself post whatever you're working on or whatever you're doing. And guess what? People can buy something to help support you so you can keep doing that thing and keep a roof over
you. Yeah. Like the dream, you know, how do you know that you win capitalism? Well, you do what you love to do.
Never, because you can make it like $1 billion.
You can make,
you can.
But I'm going to argue that unless those people are doing what they actually love, they've lost.
Because
the only way to win is to get the money you need to live and also do what you love.
I mean, we'll get a little dark in real world here, but like the suicide rate with executives and CEOs, I mean, you know, I don't really care, but like it's pretty high for the most part. But it's like money doesn't solve all your problems. Like there's a lot of things that can't be fixed with it. I mean, hell, if someone came up and says, hey, I'm gonna pay every bill you have and pay off all your debts and pay all your, you know, get a sugar daddy or sugar mom or some shit, it wouldn't solve all my problems. I still have a lot of mental health problems. I have a lot of, you know, just like shit that I can't I can't say I can't fix, but like you can't fix it with money. You know, you can get the world's best psychiatrist on it, and still not gonna fucking fix it until you try to fix it yourself.
I think a big part of it's just, you know, like just having the freedom to not feel trapped by your job or what your audience expects of you. Or
let's take it back to basic hobby shit. The expectation of, like, I don't know, a lot of likes on a post or something that you make on your own personal scale modeling page. Why?
Oh, yeah. You can't trade those likes in for a donut. I've tried.
I've tried a Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. They keep yelling at me and saying, get out, get out, get
out. They're like, we are closed, sir. Why do they keep on saying that? We are closed, sir. Also, that's not a drive-thru. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? This isn't a drive-thru, sir. We're closed. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean?
They're on a different planet.
I don't know what that
is. I got 20 likes. That's like at least a Dunkin' hole. 20
likes is worth at least.
No, at least 20 people saw it.
I think so.
Yeah. That's engagement. That's a metric. You can sell that metric for money.
You can sell. Yeah, it's a metric, right? All metrics are KPIs. Every KPI means money.
We went off a fucking whole tangent of just like, oh, hey, what are we working on to like the fucking world's a hellscape and the fucking social media is a goddamn Satan's
Welcome
urethra.
To the Cutting Matt podcast. That's what we've been, but
it relates,
this episode
it relates.
Is a lot, it's a lot cheerier and a lot more cohesive than the hellscape that was last year. So I'm very proud of us.
I like that. I like that.
I think this is good.
We're definitely like figuring shit out. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, you know, the podcast has always been kind of mental health and hobbying and the weird things that interact. And to kind of bring it back to all this, it was battling a lot of those weird inner barriers of like, oh my God, if I post like a work in progress picture, people are gonna fucking, you know, XYZ, or weird things that you just like may make up in your head that stop you from doing the most basic thing of just posting a picture online.
People will XYZ.
A very real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very real thing, whether you are like me or kind of coming out of content retirement, or you're just a fan that's getting into Gunplay. You're like, hey, I want somewhere to document my progress for hobbying.
Wouldn't it be cool to do this?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to do that? I mean, that's why I started doing it. That's why I made like a quote unquote name for my channel and stuff, because I want to document my true progress. Mm-hmm. From true Gunplay, the whole thing in there. Like my true progress in the hobby. And for a hot minute I did, and then I stopped, and then I'm kind of getting back into it, which is nice, because like it's like for me, I suck at writing. Handwriting's terrible. Yeah. It's like
you're a doctor.
It's like hobby journaling, but with a video.
That's right. Well, because you're recording your progress.
Yeah.
And you're also like taking a snapshot in time.
It's and like, then I go back and like look at it, edit it, and make it look cool and stuff. And like it's fun. It's like a fun little exercise.
Yeah. Self-reflection.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most important parts of growth.
It's kind of what we do here.
Yeah.
With a podcast. It's a little bit of self-reflection of what we're going through, and you know, how it may not everything we're saying may relate to you. You may not like video games, you may not like fucking, you may not like Gundam, you may just like miniatures.
You may not like my rants about the state of you know, my angsty thoughts about capitalism.
Yeah, or your Unabomber outfit. Weird.
No, that's actually people like
you
that.
You have to like that.
That's very popular. Yeah. This is extremely focus groups really picked up on this.
Yeah.
You can't see it. He's got a little bit of chest hair showing.
A little bit. Miami Unabomber.
That makes it better.
Yep. And honestly, I mean, this is going to be, we'll do some like trading cards or whatever, right?
We'll do.
Dude, I want to do trading cards so bad.
Oh yeah.
We'll do some fungible tokens.
I got a guy.
He's got a connection for
I got a guy for everything.
You can do trading cards. You can do like stick poke tattoos, and you can do brats.
Frisbees.
Custom bratwurst.
Custom bratwurst shaped like the uniform.
Any color you want. Red 40's free.
Don't forget the mustard V-fin on it.
I'll
thank
have
you.
One green. Yeah. God, mustard.
So we talked about a little bit of, you know, what we're doing again.
Yep.
What we're getting back into. What, you know, some updates and plans that we have for upcoming content per se. You know, this was kind of, we want to do this first episode as a little bit of like, it was like we said, catching up.
We're getting back into this thing.
Yeah, we've said that before.
We're returning.
And I'll be honest, I've always said that. I have weird days where I'm just like, I really want to do stuff, but I'm not doing it currently. So like, I mean, you know, I'm going to tweet about it. I'm going to say I'm going to be doing stuff and hold myself accountable for it.
But so actually that, I heard not to do, I read something that said not to do that.
I did that recently and just deleted it. I was like, no, you actually need to do it first.
So instead of, let's do this. With us, dear listeners, let's make a pact to not talk about doing things, but rather to just do them.
We're going
to
recap them after the fact on the next episode.
Do them and then recap them afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we talked about some stuff that we were going to do this season. And maybe
those broad strokes.
Maybe that fucked us up. But we're probably going to do those things. Like, let's be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've set up the room to do those things. Yeah. We kind of don't have a choice. This is a weird setup.
He's taking steps to do those things. We have a producer that knows how to do these things.
I'm learning.
I don't know what the fuck. I don't know how to do. How does my voice get into the computer?
A series of tubes.
Yeah. You are listening like literally to a series you're of listening tubes. To this
actually,
voice.
There's a tube.
That's a tube.
To, yeah.
The mic cable is the tube.
Yes.
Those tubes can be filled
with sound.
Your voice.
It's not a big. You can't just
sound
dump.
Ghosts. Sound
not,
ghosts.
You can't just dump something because I'm not saying
not
this
a,
now.
You just can't just dump things.
I'm not saying this now. I already
you know
said
what?
This.
We're
I
gonna,
said this when we recorded it, but you're listening to it now.
It's on a series. We're gonna end this with a series of tube song from the classic age of the internet.
Oh, tubes
from the fucking 4chan album
is not a big truck.
It's not a big truck. You can't just dump anything on it.
It's not a big truck.
It's a series of tubes.
Yeah,
it was like very early YouTube poop, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I didn't watch it. I don't think I watched it on Newgrounds where I found it.
That was a really famous. I definitely watched the actual speech.
That was that era. New bombs were. Oh, anyways, Tino, sign us off. We got to go. I think we've been on here long enough.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this surprisingly incredibly deep episode of the
We got into it. We got off the rails.
Yeah.
That was unreal.
Quick.
It's my bad, guys.
We'll see you next time. I'm Tino, once again, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. And over
What's
here.
Up? I'm Brandon.
Yeah.
I do mecha genre. And again, wearing aviators indoors. Definitely
Watch
recommend.
Out.
Watch out.
Watch out, ladies. I am.
Seen this guy before.
Gross.
Yuck.
And then there's another guy on our podcast also.
Yuck.
His name rhymes with mole.
It is. Oh, it does rhyme with
Kroll.
It is Kroll.
It's Kroll.
Leader of the Underground Bionicle Legion.
Exactly. Yes. Today we have with us Kroll, leader of the Underground Legion from Bionicle. Kroll, how are you doing today? Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, sometimes we all have days like that, Kroll. What's your favorite type of sandwich from Arby's? Yeah, I also like that one.
That's how it would sound like. But my name's Joel, and I go by Engine Studio and True Gumball Online. I want to thank you all for listening and joining us for the new season 5 that I will promise.
Season 5.
We'll have more than 3 fucking episodes.
But you know what? If we don't, they're going to be good episodes.
They will be. It'll be like our episodes 1, 2, and 3. I don't care what anyone says. Those are great Star Wars movies.
I did like,
I like them. For nostalgic reasons only, yes, because I saw them in theaters.
They weren't as bad as I remember.
They're not. We'll talk about it in a later episode. But
I have more thoughts about the latest Star Wars that were
very
bad.
I have problems with those ones.
I also did.
It's
also Disney.
I hear the new one's supposed to be super kick-ass, though.
Really?
Yeah.
There's
really?
A new. Oh, that's right. They're doing like the Mandalorian. Anyways, we'll talk about it, I guess, maybe.
Insight, though, Rogue One was the best of both worlds. Like, look,
we will talk
Borg
about Star
style.
Trek, though.
Yeah. We definitely will, yeah.
Star Trek.
You know, I need to watch a Cliff Notes on Star Trek. It's
you need
so
to just
long.
Watch. We'll it's on Pluto. Yep. It's free.
There are a few
Star
requirements.
Trek.
You got to figure out who Locutus is. Just watch The Next Generation until you get to that episode, and you will not want to stop watching.
Okay, yeah, that'll be my
promise.
Fifth, yep. That'll be my fifth time watching through The Next Generation.
Oh, only five?
Only five.
We'll get you
once you
back.
Get to seven, you really start seeing the whole picture.
Yeah,
you really start seeing wrong. This vision.
Things just start to match up, and also by that point, you start reciting the lines. And
the internet is not a big truck. The internet is not. Something that you just dump something on. The internet is not a big truck. The internet it's a series of tubes. The internet is not a big truck. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. The internet is not a big truck. The internet